It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who is the mysterious woman that appears in front of a teen? A spectacular light emerges from a loved one as they pass to the other side, and ghost investigators get all the evidence they need to prove the existence of the undead.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you like the show, become an EPP, an extra podcast person. You get all the bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week. Also, access to advanced episodes weeks before they go to the public. Free ebook, and I think a kitten is what we're throwing in there now.
Really?
We're breeding cats just to send out.
We are not.
To EPPs.
We're going to get all kinds of
spay
new to your pet mail.
We decided we'd get a couple cats, and then when you become a yearly EPP, we send you a kitten. It's in the mail, in an envelope, in a flat rate box. Couple holes in it for air, and you get a cat that's branded with our logo.
Oh, that's great.
It's even worse. You don't get a cat, okay? Cats are not part of the deal, but...
no words.
I never thought of that one. That's a new idea for marketing. But you do get all the other stuff. No kittens or cats. Sorry, not part of it. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
Do you like the kitten that you got there?
No, we're not doing that. We have our little cross-eyed kitty that we love, and that's it.
We do. We have a cross-eyed cat, and we love him.
He's special.
I never even realized he really was cross-eyed until the other day.
You thought I was just joking when I called him my little cross-eyed kitty?
I'm like, that's kind of mean. But then I was like, oh, my God, he is cross-eyed.
Yeah.
And he looks up at you and he's like, oh, my God, he is. I always thought I was looking at him from a weird angle or something.
He is the sweetest natured cat I've ever had. He's just a little sweetheart.
He gives hugs.
Yeah.
You walk up to people, like literally just wraps his body around his paws around your leg and hugs you.
But he's not doing anything else. He's just hugging.
And then he gyrates his hips.
No,
I think that's a sign of more love. He really loves you.
No.
He dances. He dance hugs is what he's doing. It's not a dance hug?
I was just trying to clarify for people that just assume the cat was humping you.
Well, it's a dance hug.
Oh, okay. Dance hug.
That's what that is. It's like the turtles at the zoo.
Oh, God.
The old ones. Mm-hmm. The 100-year-old tortoises. Look, they're playing piggyback rides.
explain that one to the kids. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Speaking of animals mating, the other day, butterflies in our yard were going at it, too. It's been a lot of animal sex.
It's spring.
Yeah. It was funny because the dog, I let him out, and there was two butterflies going at it, and he just runs right out. I'm thinking, oh, shit, he's going to, like, eat one of them. He's just going to jump up and get one in his mouth and eat the butterfly. And then this other one's going to have this traumatic experience of, like, having sex with the other butterfly when its partner is eaten.
That's special.
Can you imagine, like, how traumatic that would be? Like, all of a sudden, boom. One of us just gets eaten. God. Just like a shark just jumps into your bed, the bedroom, and boom, one gone. It's the same. It's what would happen with the dog.
Okay.
It's that traumatic.
Uh-huh.
These are things that run through my mind. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter. It says, I'm new to listening and really like the show. I'd like to share one of my stories. I have many stories, but one really holds me. My parents split when I was young, and I've been going to my dad's place in Connecticut for summer. It took place over the summer when I was 8. I'd come home from a day at camp. I was wiped out. Used to sleep with a radio on every night to help me sleep. I woke up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom and went back to my room. I fell back to sleep and woke up an hour later. My radio was off. I looked in the doorway and saw a woman standing there. She's wearing a long white gown with lace up her neck and more lace to her elbows. Her hair was shoulder length. I thought it was my stepmom, so I called her name and got nothing. I rolled over, fell back asleep. The next night I woke up, but noticed my radio was off, though the woman was standing in my doorway again. I remember closing my eyes tight to see if she'd be gone, but when I opened them, she wasn't at the door, but sitting next to me on the side of my bed, with her hand over my eyes. I didn't feel fearful, just curious on who it was, what she was doing. After those two nights, I didn't see her again until I was 17. My dad, stepmom, and myself, living with them permanently now, lived across the street. I went back to the house when I was 8 to babysit some kids. Their apartment was below where we lived. Around 11 p.m., the kids already asleep in bed, I saw a shadow walk on the outside stoop. I didn't think much of it, so I went back to dilly-dallying on my laptop. When I looked up, the same woman was standing in front of me, smiling and clasping her hands together in front of her. Since then, I haven't seen her. I'm 26 now, living back in the apartment and in the same room from when I was 8. I haven't seen her, but I feel when I'm being watched.
I think she was happy to see him after all that time where he had lived across the street.
It's like anyone, like a person, a pet, whatever, ghost. Hey, you're back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sort of a thing.
I think so.
I think that happens. I mean, especially if you're like confined to an area like a pet would be. And if you're a ghost, like you can't leave the house for whatever reason. And then the person that you like comes back, you get excited and happy to see them. I think that very much might be what it is. Thanks for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can write on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Tickets are on sale, by the way, for our Crescent Hotel extravaganza. Is extravaganza the wrong word?
It's a little over the top.
Fiesta.
No.
It's not a fiesta. Quinceañera. We're having... No. It's not the Real Ghost Stories Online first annual. And I say, am I saying it correct?
I'm not sure if you're saying it right or not.
I think I'm missing a syllable.
So stop saying
it. Okay. We're going to have a pinata and everything. It'll be fun. Maybe we should get one. Yeah. I don't know if they allow that at the Crescent. Anyway, August 11th, it's none of the above. It's going to be ghost stories, and it'll be fun. Real Ghost Stories Online, we'll do an episode of that and an episode of the Grave Talks back-to-back live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Tickets are only $25 a piece. You get them, and then we'll see you there. It's that easy. They're doing some specials on rooms at the Crescent. You can get the details on that at realghoststoriesonline.com. There's a lot of lodging options. If for some reason they sell out of rooms, there's a lot of hotels in Eureka Springs. So find what works for you, but if you can, stay at the Crescent, because it's the Crescent. And how often do you get to stay at the Crescent? So it's cool. Mm-hmm. It's creepy. and your room will probably be haunted. So it'll be a good time. Anyway, get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. And we'll see you there. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to another story. It says, I have had multiple instances over the years of seeing and smelling people after they've passed. Some in dreams, some in the real world. They've all let me know that they're in a better place. My grandma passed last Easter 2018, and it was a couple months later than that that I was entering my house when from the garage that I felt a breeze walk past me, and I smelled it. It was my grandma. She used a wheelchair, so to have it at my height was just incredible. The big story I want to share is when my dad passed. My dad had broken his back when I was really young, and it caused all sorts of complications throughout his life. After many years of pain, illness, surgeries, I'd accepted his death before it ever happened. I had to. My dad became really sick when I was 9 months pregnant with my son. He was in the hospital when I had to go get my last ultrasound picture. I had many as Adrian was breech. It was the first time we got to see his face. He looked exactly like my brother, my then fiance, now husband. And I went to visit dad and show him the picture. He was so thrilled. In the week that followed, he got worse and worse. And then I received a call from work from my mom. I immediately walked out of work, picked up my brother, and the three of us stayed with my dad in the hospital for 3 days as we knew the end was near. He was in a coma. On December 23rd, 2011, my mom, my brother, and I were watching America's Funniest Home Videos, as we had always done as a family. We were laughing and having a nice time. And all of a sudden, Hunter, my brother, notices. Dad wakes up and says, "It's time." We gather around the bed, say our I love you and goodbyes. He closes his eyes and goes to sleep forever. At this moment, a spectacular yellow ball of light floats around the room, through each of us, blows the hair on my mom and my head, and then vanishes out the window. I've never felt so comforted. I had his grandson 12 days later. In the months following, I had a dream that my phone rang, and I answered it, and it was my dad. He said, "Hi, Bear," his nickname for me. I got goosebumps, and I cry every time I think of this moment. It's so comforting to know he isn't in pain anymore.
So that's kind of interesting that he woke up from a coma for his goodbye, and then they felt his spirit leave the room. I mean, because a lot of times people say they feel other spirits come to take that person with them. And so this time it was interesting to see that ball of light.
It's one of those things where I wonder how they explain it in the medical profession of when someone is in like a coma or in a very, you know, they're in a non-responsive state for a long time, and all of a sudden, boom, right before they die, this happens. Mm-hmm. Not every time, but frequently enough to hear about it, where suddenly that person's like lucid. I've even heard of that, like with people who are Alzheimer's or things of that nature, when all of a sudden there's like this moment, this couple seconds or minutes of just lucidity where it's like what that person was before whatever disease had really taken over, and they're back, and then they're gone. I don't know how you explain that.
I don't know either.
It's like something just hits, and they know that, okay, this is it. It's like the alarm went off, and okay, now I'm gonna wake up. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're around long enough after to go, what did that feel like?
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't like interrupt him in that moment going, wait a second, I know what's going on here. You're going to die in a few minutes, so screw all your goodbyes. What are you feeling? Right. Like, wait, I got like 30 seconds. It's like, no, tell me about it.
How did you know to wake up?
Yeah. Then like, boom, missed the opportunity. 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go over to another letter. It says, I'm a paranormal researcher, Connecticut spirit investigators, working on a case where a restaurant owner has caught amazing ghostly experiences on their night surveillance cameras. A mallet flying off a shelf, a bag of flour moving on its own, a dot chain that stands straight up, and tongs that move on their own. She called me and my team, and we've investigated the location at night and have also had some amazing experience. I have video and still pictures confirming EVPs as well that there is indeed a young male spirit there. We also got the name Ben through a ghost box. I'd love to send you some of these images and video. Our investigation includes the team using various ghost hunting equipment. We had 4 infrared cameras, which picked up flying orbs all night, audio recording, which caught EVPs, still pictures, all sorts of stuff that pointed to this being a young man who worked in the area. The location's history showed that it was an area that had mills, blacksmiths, farms. He also told us his name was Ben. We also used a rope that the spirit was able to manipulate on demand. At one time, it was going crazy. We tried to take photos only to have them all show up out of focus. It wasn't until the rope stopped that the pictures were in focus again. We have a video of that session. We had a cold spot and feeling of uneasiness. Some felt headaches, some upset stomach. The energy was intense and made itself known. The owner of the restaurant doesn't mind that Ben is there. The employees do feel a little uncomfortable. Her main focus was to know more about the spirit at the location. Our personal experience has verified that this place is definitely haunted.
I would say so, especially if they're getting the name of the ghost from multiple sources.
Yeah, that really kind of gives you some pretty concrete evidence, mm-hmm. you know, of that when you get something that detailed. I would love to see those videos, so please do send them in. It'd be interesting to take a listen to that. I did an interview earlier today that'll be airing on the Grave Talks. Probably October.
Yeah.
Is my guess for it. It's probably going to be a two-parter. I haven't even had a chance to edit it yet. And it's all about Amityville. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting. It was with Laura DiDio, who is, she was the reporter on the case back when it happened. She's the one who really helped to facilitate, organize the night where Ed and Lorraine Warren came in, and there were other mediums that were in there that night. And very much of what we talk about today and many of the big events were organized by her and documented by her. So it's a really compelling 2-hour interview that I did. We really dived into everything in great detail, from just how it all began to her first interactions with the Lutzes, and so much more. And the thing is with Amityville, you bring up the topic, and the first thing you get is, that was a hoax, right? That's the first thing you hear in many cases for folks who haven't dived into it very much, because there's a lot of information out there. And there were some people who came out and said that they were making things up. But there's also a ton of evidence, far more evidence, when you really dive into it, that point to there being something that happened. We dive into all of it, everything from where George and Kathy Lutz had talked about things that had been embellished upon, all the way to things that were not embellished upon and unexplained things that have happened after they moved out.
Yeah.
Not just to them, but in the house itself. That's something that everyone, I have found nothing on this. It's always quote unquote, everyone says nothing has ever happened with the house again. Au contraire, I think we have something new you may not have heard of yet. So some interesting accounts all around this. I've listened to a lot of Amityville interviews over the years, everything, you know, from back when George was alive to just other people involved and talking to different people that have been involved with it. And I got to say, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I think we have a really good one.
Yeah.
I was down here for just 2 hours. We were supposed to go to lunch an hour into it. And it was like, Jen's going to be mad because it's an hour, hour and a half later.
I wasn't mad at all.
I know. But that's just how long this mm-hmm. kept going, because the conversation just kept flowing and the information was just like, wow, I hadn't heard that before. There's a lot of I hadn't heard that before moments mm-hmm. or information and just insight into the case. So anyway, that's going to be coming up in October on the Grave Talks or other podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to that wherever you download podcasts. And Gravekeepers over there will probably, well, they will, they'll get it more in advance. That's the equivalent of EPP for that show. That's the Gravekeepers. They will probably be getting it sometime in summer. Don't know exactly when, late June, July-ish, somewhere around there is what I'm estimating. But it's interesting, especially when we're talking about this last letter made me think about it a bit, because they were talking about how somebody felt ill in this when they were talking or communicating with the spirits. What happened at the in the Amityville case, where they had the psychic slumber party, is what they called it. They went in, and that's when they got the ghost boy photo and all sorts of stuff. The amount of people who got sick that night in that house, not just like the empaths and the psychics and things like that that were in there, but like the camera crew for Channel 5 and people who really otherwise are just there to do their job and document, not there to truly investigate. Lots of interesting things. So anyway, I'm excited about it, as you can tell. And I just got done interviewing her less than an hour ago. So, yeah, it'll be good. And it's a little ways away, but just keep it on your radar, because it'll be a fun one to listen to. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over to a caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. My name is Missy, Aunt Melissa. I'm from a little town, Mississippi. Born and raised. My story, well, I have quite a few. The ones that really get to me, though, is this one. I was married for 7 years. Me and my husband divorced. We had 3 kids together. He left. It was like after Katrina, the hurricane Katrina come through. He left, so I was raising the kids by myself and working. You know, I worked a night job, and my mother was helping out, you know. Well, on the nights when I wasn't at work, you know, it was kind of hard to sleep, but I would sleep. I woke up one night, and my kids were sleeping in the bed with me. Well, two of them would. The oldest one, she did, and she slept in her own bed, which was in the same room with me. I woke up in the middle of the night and, like, just my eyes popped open. And I guess you call it sleep, like, you know, you're paralyzed and you sleep. Your brain wakes up before your body does, or something like that, because I read into it because it scared me. Well, that's what happened. Well, at least I think that's what happened. Because I opened my eyes and I could see everything in the room. Was nothing in the room was different, so I know it was a dream, because in a dream there's usually something different in the room, and this dream was me, and my little cook was nothing different. But I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. I couldn't talk. I could see my son laying next to me in the bed, my youngest one, but I couldn't touch him. I couldn't reach out and touch him. I couldn't do anything but watch. And from beside the bed, on his side of the bed, there was this, kind of like seeing something kind of rising up beside the bed, and that's what it was. It was rising up beside the bed, and as it got further to where I could actually see it, it had these sharp teeth, and had big eyes. And it turned around and it looked at me, and it had this hand that had these long nails on it, and it was above my son. And when he looked at me, or it looked at me, it started to go back down, but his hand was coming down over my son's head. And I started freaking out because I couldn't move to get to him. I couldn't move to save him, and all I could think was, I have to get out of this. And all of a sudden, I felt like my legs were shaking, like they were, like, moving. But I wasn't moving them, but they were moving. And I, like, screamed, like, you know, took a deep breath and tried to scream, and I jerked myself up, and it was over. I don't know what it was, but it was over. It was gone. My son was fine. But not too long after that incident, my son started having asthma, had asthma attacks. And he was in the hospital. From that point to he was about 4 years old, on and off, was bronchial pneumonia, bronchial asthma, you know, on and off with touchy like that. He grew out of it, thank God, but that was the only time I ever seen that creature or whatever it was come in my room. Could he have been after my son? Could it have been just a dream? You know, I'm just a little not worried about it now because it hadn't happened in a while. But I have a few more stories I'll share with y'all on another occasion. I was just wanting to share that one with y'all. Thanks.
What do you make of that one?
No, I wonder if it's not so much that the creature caused the asthma, or maybe it was drawn to the kid because the kid has asthma and they just hadn't discovered it yet. The way a lot of paranormal things happen to people that are going through something.
That makes sense. What's your thought on there being a creature?
Hello, oops. Anna.
Stop!
Hello,
no, Anna, stop! There we go. Sorry, Anna.
Okay.
I just tried to load the call, and then it just started playing. If I step, press that button, there we go. voices. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts, though, on this being just like a sleep paralysis case where there's nothing necessarily truly paranormal going on, but just, you know, this is what she saw. Yes, it looked terrifying, and it would be terrifying when you're seeing this, especially if it's affecting your child. But so I guess, is there a line in the sand on this story where you say, okay, this is what took it over the line to be more paranormal for me than just a very terrifying sleep paralysis experience?
I don't know that there is in this particular story, just because she mentioned, you know, being a single mom, working nights, she's going to be exhausted. So it's going to be a challenge to sleep anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that sleep paralysis tends to happen when you're dealing with sleep issues anyway.
Sure.
So I don't know for me that there's a line in the sand. I completely believe her, and mm-hmm. It doesn't make it any less valid of how terrifying it was.
No.
I just don't know that there's that waking evidence for me, you know, where sure. There's something else that happened. And you know, honestly, I like I said before, I don't know that this creature gave the kid asthma, but maybe he was drawn to the kid because the kid's not been diagnosed yet and was struggling.
If there was something, in fact, going on. Yeah, it's one of those things. Right? It's not a matter of not believing her by any means, because I believe she had this experience. Mm-hmm. I believe that this is what, you know, her reality was in that state. It's just a matter of, was just a terrifying sleep paralysis experience, which people do have, and it's not connected to paranormal, mm-hmm. but it sure as hell feels like it.
Sure.
So I, you know, in a way, without there being other evidence, maybe it can be a bit of a comforting thing going, this maybe wasn't paranormal. It was just a really freaky ass experience that your mind did to you.
Yeah.
So you can kind of lift that off, that weight of is there a demon in my house, or, you know, because without a whole lot of other evidence, it's hard to say that there is. But if there's other things that are going on that weren't shared in the story or since the story, you know, then we may have something else going on. But I'd be interested to hear more if there is anything else.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hello, I'm Anna. I'm calling from Arizona. So I listened to your podcast while I'm working, and I was actually listening to one that you did recently, a couple months ago from October 2018, of a woman who was pregnant and smelled her grandmother's perfume. I have a similar story, but it's not my story. It's my mom's story. So when her sister passed away, they used to share a bedroom when they were younger, and my mom's older sister passed away when my mom was probably like 18 or 19 years old. So I don't know how long after my mom's sister passed away that this happened, but my mom said it happened continuously. So their routine was her sister would get up before my mom's sister would get up before her in the morning, get ready and leave. So by the time that my mom would wake up, her sister's perfume was the only thing that would linger. So my mom was used to smelling her sister's perfume when she would wake up in the morning to start getting ready herself. So when her sister passed away, a couple, you know, I don't know if it was days or weeks after she passed away, my mom started smelling her sister's perfume when she would wake up in the mornings. And I don't know how long this went on for, but it, she said it didn't happen on just one occasion. It happened several days after, or, you know, several times out of more than once that she smelled her, her sister's perfume when she would wake up. And she didn't know if it was just the way that her sister was telling her that she was still watching over her, that she was still there. But it was just interesting that when I was listening to your podcast, there was another woman who had a similar experience with perfume, smelling someone's perfume. So I thought you guys would like to know my mom's story. I have a lot of other crazy stories that I probably will give you guys a call about in the next, you know, couple days. But I just wanted to get on the phone real quick and let you guys know of this particular story that happened to my mom. So, yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for the show. I love listening to it when I'm driving, when I'm at work, whenever I have a chance to. So thank you guys so much. Bye.
You know, the interesting thing about perfume is that two people can wear the same perfume and it will smell differently on each of them because of the way it interacts with their bodies. So it's kind of interesting. They're not just smelling the perfume. They're smelling the perfume on that loved one. Mm-hmm. And how that scent was given off. So that's how you know who it was. It's not just, oh, it's the Old Spice ghost or whatever. You know, you're smelling your loved one's interaction with that perfume.
Sure.
And I think that's to me, that's a very strong tell that, yeah, that's who's there.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's an interesting one because sometimes, I mean, smells, I mean, if you're putting on perfume or cologne, you know, you're intending to create a scent, mm-hmm. For other people to smell you, when you're alive anyway. But quite often we don't all do that. And then we just kind of give off a scent and you're like, oh, that's how that person smells. Mm-hmm. I'm always oblivious to how I smell. And, it's an interesting thing, but you know, you can, you know, I'm sure you can smell me and go, that's you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can do the same for you. And it's an interesting thing that when you get that smell, we're oblivious to it as sometimes when we're alive or, you know, just where you can see each other. I wonder how oblivious ghosts are when they're around others. And just as in life, I didn't realize I had any scent that was coming off of me. And then somebody picks up on it where it's not even like, I'm going to stand here and make you smell me. It's not how unintentional it is, mm-hmm. that they're being sensed is what I'm getting to.
I don't know. I almost wonder that the perfume thing is on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I think that. And, you know, it's different. I say with perfume than like I'm looking at my bottle of lotion. You know, you and I can wear that lotion and we're both going to smell the same. Perfume is different.
Sure.
So I think it's almost on purpose that they do that.
Well, and perfume is a more intentional thing too in life. Mm-hmm. When you put it on, you're putting it on to smell good.
Yeah.
Versus just, this is the smell that you have. Mm-hmm. So I know I quite often smell like just bacon and it's weird.
No.
So there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus materials, all the advanced episodes and more. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.